This is Gina Marie Rodriguez, and you're listening to the Jersey Arts Podcast. It would seem that today's guest and I have a special connection, but I won't spoil the surprise. You'll just have to listen to learn what it is. Rolling Stone has called him the leading singer-songwriter of the new folk movement. New Jersey's own John Gwarka is a world-renowned singer-songwriter who is most comfortable with a guitar in hand. As a matter of fact, that's my favorite part of this interview. You may hear him strum the guitar occasionally throughout the piece as we chat, and I'm not just referring to the live performances I was treated to. You heard that right. Gwarka surprised me with not one, but three live serenades, including my favorites of his, I'm From New Jersey and O Abraham. I think this is an episode you won't want to miss. I have to say, I'm really excited to talk to you because I heard that you're from Colonia, New Jersey.
I am. Absolutely. Yeah. I grew up there. Yeah.
That's where I grew up too.
Really? Did you go to Colonia High?
I did.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, that's funny. Wow.
I don't hear of a lot of people from Colonia. I mean, aside from the people that I went to high school with, right? So it's exciting when I hear someone else is from Colonia.
Yeah.
And I heard it in your song, which is my favorite song, O Abraham.
Oh, Abraham, right? Yes.
Yes.
Yeah,
I get so excited.
Wood Avenue between Inman and New Dover. Yeah.
Yes. I love that so much. My friend, one of my best friends, actually grew up on Wood Avenue. So I headed to Wood Avenue very often.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I think apparently the house I grew up in has been bulldozed and made into a cul-de-sac. So I can't really go home again. But friends of mine got some soil from that and gave me a little sample. So I've got that a little home dirt.
That's so sweet. So you did you grow up on Wood Ave?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. 800 Wood Avenue. Yeah.
Oh my God, that's so close. All right, I'm actually not going to say that because I'll give away where my friend lives, but
Okay.
very nearby. So I
Wow.
think I know exactly where you're talking about. That's Yeah, that was actually really disappointing when they bulldozed that area. But I still love it there. I actually don't live very far. So New Jersey is still home for me. Where are you now?
I'm in Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Yeah,
Okay.
been here since 96.
Is there a big folk scene out in Minnesota? I've heard a lot of artists out in Minnesota.
Oh, there's a lot of good artists and musicians and some good studios and some good places to play. So yeah, I think it's okay.
That's great. But you'll always be from New Jersey.
I will always be, yes, no matter what.
And this is the Jersey Arts Podcast, so I love talking about Jersey and two folks from New Jersey. I happen to love your song. I'm from New Jersey.
All right.
Super
Well,
relatable.
I've got a guitar here if you want me to play anything at any point. So
Oh my God, would you?
We can do a quick sound check. Let's see.
Absolutely. Oh, I'm already in love with you. Thank you.
I'll do the New Jersey song then. I wrote this after reading Richard Ford's book, The Sports Writer, where he's a sports writer based in New Jersey, and there's something about it crystallized, and this does not apply universally in New Jersey, but I think there is a segment where it's true for. Okay. Stop me if the voice is weird or anything. I'm from New Jersey. I don't expect too much. If the world ended today, I would adjust. I'm from New Jersey. No, I don't talk that way. I watched too much TV when I was young. I'm from New Jersey. My mom's Italian. I've read those mafia books. We don't belong. There were girls from New Jersey who had that great big hair. Once found in shopping malls, I will take you there. I'm from New Jersey. It's not like Texas, no. There is no mystery. I can't pretend I'm from New Jersey. It's like Ohio, but even more so. Imagine that. I know which exit and where I'm bound. Tolls on the parkway, they would slow you down. New Jersey people, they will surprise you, 'cause they're not expected to do too much. They will try harder, they may go further, 'cause they never think that they are good enough. I'm from New Jersey, I don't expect too much. If the world ended today, I would adjust, I would adjust, I would adjust.
Can I just tell you, you fulfilled a dream of mine. I have always wanted to be serenaded. I just got my own private concert. I don't know if you can tell, but that made me cry.
Oh, that's really nice. Well, thank you.
No, that was so good. I love that song, and it's so relatable for so many reasons, but I love that line, if the world ended today.
Yeah, so kind of adjusting now.
Absolutely. Oh my God, thank you for that, really.
Sure.
Thank you. Yeah, but let's talk about your music, because
okay,
you've got
sure.
a lot of really wonderful songs, and I myself am not a musician, so I always ask these questions of artists.
Sure.
How do you find your sound? How did you find your way to folk music?
I think I first wanted to be a banjo player, so I love the sound of and I got the wrong kind of banjo. The first banjo I got was a tenor banjo, and I realized that's not the kind of, I really wanted to learn like Earl Scruggs style, which is a five string banjo. And I love that sound. I love that, you know, hearing them on the Beverly Hillbillies and the soundtrack to Bonnie and Clyde. And then in 73, I think that's when Deliverance, the theme song to Deliverance came out, the dueling banjos. So I just loved the sound of the banjo, and picked up the guitar about 6 months later. My brother plays guitar, and so I started playing guitar. He had a bunch of he showed me some chords, and he had a bunch of song books that it let me borrow, and I started writing songs pretty much right away. Because I think I knew I wanted to be a writer before I knew music was going to be the way, and I thought. When I started to write songs, I just wanted to see if I could, and I started trying to do it a little bit, and I felt like the combination of words and music was much more powerful than words alone, at least the way I could express them. I'm not the most outgoing person. I'm pretty shy and socially awkward, so music, it was kind of my way out, and a way of reaching other people in a way that I was more or less comfortable with.
Well, I think that's really the beauty of music, because that's where your voice is most comfortable and where you're able to tell stories. And I saw that you had studied initially philosophy and history. Is that correct?
That's right. Yes, at Moravian College in Bethlehem.
I feel like that, maybe it's an assumption on my part, but I feel like that must have played well into your musical journey, because you're writing stories, right? So both of those things, I think,
yeah,
are very helpful.
I think it did. I love history, you know, and I often just say that I was a philosophy major, because that's funnier. But I love the big ideas, the big questions. So that and history, I thought I wanted to study stuff that would be hard for me to learn on my own. So I started writing songs in high school, and continued through. I met some fellow musicians at Moravian, Doug Anderson and Richard Russ Rentler, and later Richard Schindel. We formed the Razzy Dazzy Spasm Band, and we would meet every Friday at Doug's apartment. He was a little older than us. He was married and had an apartment we would go to off campus, and that was lots of fun. He knew hundreds of songs and was generous with lending his record collection, and then he took me to Godfrey Daniels Coffee House sometime, because I met Russ Rentler the very first night of the Moravian College. They had a freshman orientation coffee house, and I did the they invited incoming freshmen to perform if they want to. So I played, and Doug Anderson, who was in the audience, saw Russ Rentler, who played mandolin, and me, who playing banjo. He thought he saw the makings of a bluegrass band. So that was the beginning of the Razzy Dazzy Spasm Band.
I love that. Look, like I said, I'm not a musician, so sometimes I get my words mixed up, but bluegrass and folk are two separate genres, yes, but
pretty
closely
much. But
related.
There's some related, you know, it's related in a lot of the same instruments, you know, the styles are a little different, but using acoustic instruments, the Razzy Dazzy Spasm Band wasn't a very traditional bluegrass band, but we did some of the songs that were kind of standards.
I love that kind of music, especially nowadays. I mean, the world is always kind of crazy. I think we just hear more about it now because of social media and the news in our palms. But I really turn to music that I find soothing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
your music does that.
Oh, well, thanks. That's what I hope that, you know, my music has an effect, I hope it will make people feel less alone. I think that's my great hope for that. By doing music, I can help people feel less alone.
Absolutely. Well, what you just did for me, singing I'm
Oh.
from New Jersey to me, that absolutely made me feel less alone. Thank you.
Oh, well, thanks.
I love that song. But I guess the question to you is, who do you listen to when you need to be soothed?
Oh, I think I probably play for that helps helps me just to kind of figure out what's going on inside, you know, and pick up the instrument and see, hit a chord that I've played a million times, but whatever that moment, it's something that feels different, and so I feel, you know, kind of keep going at it and see if it leads anywhere and see if any words come to mind. Usually if I have lyrics, I can almost always come up with a tune, but it doesn't always work both the other way around. I always, that's one of the things I ask other songwriters, you know, are they music first, words first, or both at the same time, or sometimes people say it was just the general idea or an image that starts things off. But that's the process is kind of endlessly fascinating and still mysterious to me.
Do you ever get woken up in the middle of the night with an idea and you have to jump out of bed and write a song?
I have done that, and a lot of the times I monitor my thoughts as I'm going to sleep at night or waking up in the morning. Those are seem to be the most productive time for lyrics, and musically, sound check times are a good time. That I find myself playing something, you know, when I should be thinking about what I should be playing that night or that day, I find myself noodling and playing something I've not recorded, not played before. It's like, oh, what's this? So it's kind of an odd thing, but I try to pay attention to that, those times, and try to note the whatever it was I was playing, if I maybe recorded on the phone or that kind of thing, because ideas will come and go, you know, they'll come and stay and keep knocking at your door. Others will just kind of visit, and if you're not receptive, the idea will move on to someone else. My friend Eliza Gilkison says if the song, an idea comes to you and you don't, and you kind of refuse it or you don't want to give it attention, they all default to Bob Dylan.
Do you keep a notebook or a guitar by your nightstand if you need to wake up?
Oh, I've got a guitar. I got a guitar next to the, and uh, if it
it turns out that I've got something. I'll try to record it somehow. Because notebooks and I like writing on, rather than typing on a keyboard, I like writing in longhand. That seems to, that kind of reminded me of that, you know, I took a course with Tom Paxton at the Swannanoa Gathering in North Carolina. I was one of the instructors there, but I had some time, so I was able to attend a couple classes. I got to sit in on Tom Paxton's class several times, and one of the things he had an exercise where he said his wife was a psychologist, and she said that the act of writing pen or pen or pencil to paper, just that physical act, stimulates the a creative part of your brain. So it's a little bit more effective than typing on a keyboard. So that's something we did an exercise and ended up coming up with a song out of it. So the process is, like I said, is endlessly fascinating, and just those things. And the other thing for me was that made a huge difference for me was meeting Jack Hardy at Godfrey Daniels Coffee House in June of 1979. He was the first person I met who wrote songs on a schedule. His schedule was to finish a song a week. I didn't know that songwriters could do that. I knew that fiction writers would try to get up and write a certain number of words a day, pages a day, whatever. But I didn't know songwriters did that. I just kind of wait for inspiration to strike. And he said, that's a cop out. You know, if you work at it, even if you throw out, you put yourself on a schedule, even if you throw out three quarters of what you come up with, you're going to get better faster just by kind of exercising the writing muscles. So I did that. I thought song a week was too ambitious. So I thought, okay, I'll try a song a month. And after the first year, I had more songs than months. So I went to two songs a month. So I had deadlines on the 15th and the end of the month. And I stayed on that kind of a, that was what I would shoot for many years until having kids.
I should really adapt that because I'm a writer as well. And mm-hmm. I still do. I wait for mm-hmm. inspiration, but mm-hmm. I like the idea of setting a deadline for write something once a month or twice a month. I think mm-hmm. that's great. I also feel really validated. You said your psychologist friend prefers, or that writing on paper actually stimulates a different part of the brain.
Yes,
I have so
yes.
many notepads uh-huh. all over the house. I prefer, pen to paper.
Yeah,
I still
yeah.
do.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's yeah. Tom Paxton's his wife was a psychologist, and he's the one. She told him about that, and he brought that into the class. So that was lots of fun, and. What is going to say that kind of writing on a schedule thing? It's sometimes that just by kind of forcing yourself, not just making some time to sit down with an empty space. That you have to have kind of a clear physical space to allow new things to come in. Sometimes when you work at, you show up every day and work at it, you'll find inspiration halfway through the process. It's not there at the beginning, but just by kind of trying to come up with something, you meet the inspiration then. So I like that idea. I think that Mary Oliver, the poet, said she was a big, she would work at something every day and go for walks. And she said, if you keep showing up, the muse learns to trust you. And I thought that's a great way of putting it.
I love that. My jaw just literally dropped, but mm-hmm. I love that quote.
Yeah, yeah. She has a poetry handbook, I think. And there was also another book that I'm spacing out at the moment that was called like the Poetry Home Repair Manual. I'm forgetting his name, but that's also very inspiring.
I will definitely look into that. I think this led me to my next question, and it's something I ask every artist, but you've already given me a lot of advice, so it's okay if I'm putting you on the spot here.
Okay.
But I like to ask, for those younger folks who are looking to get into the industry, who are looking to become musicians, what would you say to encourage them?
I think that my son is has taken an interest in writing songs and getting out there. I said, you know, that well, putting yourself on a schedule is kind of a good thing, but you keep showing up. You know, in terms of going to open mics, any place where you can, because I'm not a naturally comfortable performer, I just kind of forced myself to go to open mics. You know, multiple nights a week, just so it's like I'm still not all that comfortable performing, but I've come to terms with my own discomfort just by working on it and you know kind of c having it come into muscle memory. But I think keep showing up, you know, and keep in touch with your instrument or your voice, and check in with regularly to see if you know see if the muse is in.
Honestly, I find that kind of advice really comforting because I think so many artists are introverts or really uncomfortable being out there publicly. They just want to share their work. But it's admirable that you forced yourself to live in the discomfort and to be vulnerable. That's brave. That's really brave.
It's you know it's I was in a place. Godfrey Daniels Coffee House was a place where people listen. You know, it's still there, and people do still come to listen to music there. And it's still a great place, and they'd have open mics on Sunday nights. It was a 10-minute walk from my dormitory, and I remember one of the first times playing band. You know, I'd play fine in my room, you know, or in the basement of the dormitory, but then I'd get on stage and it's like. My hands, it was like, whose hands are these? That's one of those things that for performing, you have to just kind of do it so it becomes muscle memory rather than just your, you know, it's got to be kind of in your hands and in your singing, in your voice, so that you don't have to feel like you're creating something every second. Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm making any sense.
No, you absolutely are making perfect sense. I wish I had more interviews where someone has a guitar on their lap because I would love to hear you strum as you talk, and because I can tell that you, like, this is your safe space and you do keep reaching for it.
Yeah, that's what I feel like. Okay, I'm probably going to run out of things to say, but at least I'll have a song. There's a song I can probably get through. At the moment, maybe I should play a song. Maybe I'll try to play the O. Abraham song.
Oh, okay. I will not stop you.
Was reading about some of the things that Abraham Lincoln said and wrote and did, and the same time reading one of those those Beat Generation books about Jack Kerouac and his pals. And one of the things that it said about Jack Kerouac is that he was on a crew that helped to build the Pentagon. I just like the idea that, so this is called O Abraham. I see a penny and I pick it up. If not the money, I could use the love. If it's face down, then I turn it over. Head forward avenue between Inman and New Dover. Back to my hometown. Gas was cheaper where I'm from, but the driving's not so good. People go and stay where they should not. They don't do it like I would. Work is not the same as before. There's more software hands in this
hardware store. Yeah, yeah. Oh, Abraham, look at all the money now. It's your party, but I'll cry if I want to. I wouldn't care how much they had if they would only do what's right, not far right. I was born by a Kerouac stream, under Eisenhower skies. They saw freedom as a big idea. Now it was right before my eyes. They say Jack helped to build the Pentagon, and Ike built the interstate that we are off and on. All about the money then. Oh, Abraham, good night. It's your party, but I'll cry if I want to. All powered up and charmed with might. So we are right, we're always right. Right. We're right, they're wrong. Let them get their own song. We're right, they're wrong. Let them get their own song. I see a penny and I pick it up. 99 more and I have a buck. Abe, you were born in old Kentucky. We still miss you here.
By far the best day of my life. I've been so twice now. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
You're going to be in New Jersey soon. You're going to be at the Lizzie Rose Music Room.
Yes, yeah, so, very nice place. Yeah.
What can we look forward to?
Yeah, I'll probably, you know, play a... some favorites, you know. I have a new record coming out probably later this year. It's called Unentitled. And it's got some new songs and some older songs that I never finished recording, or they didn't have a place in those other records. So, but I've got some of my old friends are. Lucy Kaplansky sings on it, Eliza Gilkison, Alice Peacock, Kathleen Johnson was a fantastic singer, sings on it, and some of the players that I've worked with before in Minneapolis. Yeah, so at the Lizzie Rose, I'll just be doing a variety of things. You know, I don't come, I write up a set list every night, but not till after. I'll probably do some requests and some people's favorites and songs that feel right to do at the moment.
I think that's great. I like the live in the moment, right?
Yeah, David Bromberg said that the reason why he was successful, he said it wasn't because he was a great guitar player or a great singer, which I disagree with on both of those things. He said he was successful because he knew what song to play next. Everything's new all the time. Every second is new. That there's the Rick Rubin's book about the creative act is also a very inspiring book for songwriters, anybody, any artist. One of the things he said is that, you know, pay attention to what's going on right now, because it's you know, it might seem like it was a situation that that you've been in before, but the outside world is changing every second. Internally, your body is changing, replacing new cells, and so there's new stuff going on inside and out. Remember that, and it's even if things didn't work out in the past, you've got a new beginning every second.
Ain't that the truth?
That's a great book. I love that that book, and also Shinichi Suzuki's book Nurtured by Love. He's the one who invented that Suzuki method, where kids start, you know, kids and who can't read music. And that's I took a, in sixth grade. I took viola. Using my grandfather's violin restrung, and that note, because you start playing music right away. You know, it's like the idea is that people learn to speak and understand a language before they learn how to write it, read or write it. So that was an inspiring book. That and Rick Rubin's book.
You've given some really great advice, some real gems today. Thank you much.
Oh, you're welcome.
It's been a real pleasure.
It's been very fun. Should I play us out with a? I got. Is that okay?
Please.
How about this? It's just a short thing. It's just a. It's called If Not a. It's just four lines. If not us. Not them, if not now, then when? If not here, nor there, if not this world, then where? If not us, not them, if not now, then when? If not here, nor there, if not this world, then where? Not us, not them. If not now, then when? If not here, nor there. If not this world, then where?
What a treat. Three live performances in one short podcast. And that was just a taste of the soul-soothing music of John Gorka. But you can see him in all his glory at the Lizzie Rose Music Room on June 4th at 7:30 p.m. For tickets and more information, be sure to visit lizzierosemusic.com. If you liked this episode, be sure to review, subscribe, and tell your friends. A transcript of this podcast, links relevant to the story, and more about the arts in New Jersey can be found at jerseyarts.com. The Jersey Arts Podcast is presented by Art Pride New Jersey, advancing a state of creativity since 1986. The show was co-founded by and currently supported by funds from the New Jersey State Council on the Arts. This episode was hosted, edited, and produced by me, Gina Marie Rodriguez. Executive producers are Jim Atkinson and Isaac Cernadiaz. And my thanks, of course, to John Gorka for speaking with me today. I'm Gina Marie Rodriguez for the Jersey Arts Podcast. Thanks for listening.